In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking about this text a lot this week. And as I looked out amongst all the weeds and the wheat creation, I myself being a weed and a wheat, and hearing Jesus said, "Let them grow together until the harvest," I could not but think that this was a most hard and yet gracious comment by Jesus. For after all, the sower is good and his seed is good. But the problem is that when men rise and sleep and they toil about the earth, the evil one is working. And this is unlike that innocent girl who's going about the fields blowing dandelion seeds everywhere, thinking that she's repopulating wonderful flowers. I know this, I have two daughters. The devil knowingly sows these seeds of lawlessness and discord with this mischievous glee. He knows they're weeds. But now the problem is that the weeds are entangled with the wheat. So what is the Lord of the field going to do? What are you and I going to do? Well, I know what you and I would do. We would exterminate all the weeds by any means of necessary force. Period. A jug of Roundup and so be the collateral damage. So how often is it do we act as if we are God? Snuffing out life prematurely in its both primal and aging state. The neighbor, with all his fragileness and neediness, is hard-pressed to fit into our self-made lives and our self-portraits. And worse yet, when things become out of control, out of our control, and things we don't understand or disappoint us or hurt us or cause us suffering and disappointment, we often exert this tyrannical force onto someone who happens to be in our scorched path. Therefore, revenge and retaliation and payback are dishes that we love to serve. But you see, God is not that kind of cook. As you heard, remarkably, he will not pull the weeds off at once. He will not even let his servants do so. But the question is why? Why does he not just pull out the weeds? It's because of his nature that he is merciful. And he is slow to anger, and he abounds in steadfast love. He is long-suffering with his people. And so he would preserve his wheat from all harm and danger in this life. For the sake of his precious wheat, he will not pull up the weeds before the harvest. He will let them grow together. Now, as we heard last week from Pastor Fisher in the parable of the sower, Jesus is not offering up here tips about home and garden for your gardening out in your backyard. He's teaching you and I about the mysteries of the kingdom, about the strangeness of his grace, and about the limited power that the devil actually has. Remember, the devil is not capable of growing his own seed. Or his own plants, by the way. The seed the devil sows, that of the wheat, is not some sort of new plant alongside of the wheat, but rather it's a perversion of the wheat. It's a perversion of God's good creation. The devil is no creator. He's a master manipulator, and so he has disordered what God has ordered. The weeds can't be separated from the wheat because the weeds are a perversion of the wheat. And this is what makes it strange to the servants, because they do not understand. Didn't you sow good seed? Why are there weeds? Well, the Lord, basically, I sowed good seed, but the devil caused it to grow disorderly. What I sought was good, but the devil used what was good and turned it into evil. So whatever you do, do not label your neighbors and your friends and your family as weeds or wheat. Don't think that you are the Lord of the field with this expert trowel that you know exactly which ones to root up. For you and I are plants like all the rest of creation. We grow in faith only by the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, there go I, as you've often heard. Consider then your own root system, your own heart and your own life, and yes, examine it in the hot sun of the Ten Commandments. And when you do so, don't groan in disbelief. Don't groan in unbelief. Don't groan in despair. Rather, groan in repentance. And at the same time, trust your sower that he has sowed good seed, even as he prunes, and even as he tends, and even as he loves you, his creation, his garden that he has made. For you are, after all, the sheep of his pasture. The truth is, and this is so important, that the weeds are not simply planted alongside of the wheat, but rather the weeds are planted in our heart and in our flesh. Therefore, we are hard-pressed to distinguish between what is radiant fruit and what is rotten fruit. And the bigger problem is we really cannot tell the difference. After all, the weed and the wheat look very similar when they are first growing, don't they? And therefore we see the extensiveness, the pervasivity of sin. And that keeps us from pulling up that jug of Roundup or that expert trowel. If we say we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. But I still want this jug of Roundup. No, you don't. And here's one thing that amazes me and part of my own flesh. We often will quite readily say we cannot read our neighbor's heart. True as that is. But you can't read your neighbor's heart any more than you can read your own. But we certainly think that we can read our own, and we can root out all the weeds in our own heart. Therefore, we will often condemn our neighbor for the same weeds that grow in our heart. We cannot fathom the wickedness of our own hearts and the depth of our sin. For often it is, how often it is in your own mind and when you think about things that you give yourself the benefit of the doubt, but you do not give that same benefit of the doubt to your neighbor. You and I are sinful and hypocritical people through and through. But it's actually worse than that. The thing of it is not only can we not distinguish between the weeds and the wheat, we don't even realize that we can't distinguish between the weeds and the wheat. Thus, we are completely disordered, and we routinely will call evil things good things and good things evil things. We are utterly lost. Therefore, as the Son of Man says, if there are going to be sons and daughters of the kingdom that are going to grow unto eternal life in the final harvest and receive that blessedness, then it must be that the Son of Man must sow the seeds himself, raise them and harvest them unto justification, righteousness, and innocence. Because the wheat can't live choked by the weeds, right? But the wheat can't survive the weeding. So now what? It's going to die either way if the Lord of the garden does not act. And the Lord alone is the gardener of His creation. And He does act. And you know what? This is how He does it. He hides Himself in the field. He becomes a seemingly helpless fruit, this helpless seed in the ground, and He plants Himself into this ground amongst all the weeds, and He allows Himself to be entangled in the weeds, and to the point that everyone thinks that He is completely lost. And then He is choked, and He is strangled, and He is crucified and buried in the ground. And then what? Well, you know, His tree bears good fruit. He rises from the dead. He lives. He has overcome the devil's perversion of His disordered, of His good creation. He reorders what the devil has disordered by His cross and resurrection. Everything now is made right. And therefore, He proclaims the forgiveness of sins to the entire field with the seed that He has borne by His cross. He doesn't uproot the weeds or burn them. Rather, what He does is remarkable, and this is His act of mercy. He cares for the weeds and the wheat together for now. He waters both with His word for now. He shines the sunshine of his grace and His forbearance now. He tills the field by preaching repentance to all people, throwing that seed out of His gospel, and He proclaims this grace with no partiality, no favoritism, but to all. And He preserves both weeds and wheat together. And thus, you know what? By that act, He's snatching from the devil any possibility that he can get any produce from anything that he has done. You thought you were going to win, but you lost. Now, do not misunderstand. Jesus is not saying that there will not come a time of the consummation of the age. There will come a time when He will come back to judge the living and the dead. And then all those weeds that have persisted in their perverse life and their disordered life will be removed from the presence of God forever. That is, into fire. Sadly, as it were, Jesus says, hell does exist, and sadly it is populated. But not because God desires it to be. For that was created for the one who sows the wicked disorder in life. For the devil and all his angels. It was not created for what God planted in the garden. It was not created for us. Therefore, do not be comfortable with any other sower than Jesus. Do not be comfortable with any other seed than the gospel truth and His word. Don't fall asleep in sin, but rather be sober and watchful and vigilant in faith. Don't sin that grace may abound. Don't abuse the long-suffering love of the Lord as an excuse to say, you know what, I'm going to cultivate all these weeds throughout my life, and then at the last moment, I'm going to then all of a sudden say, I'm wheat. Well, you're so disordered, do you think you're really going to figure it out? You fool, this night your soul is required of you, as Jesus says. Don't mock the Son of Man by disparaging His word and living in such a way that you are tempting God's grace. But also have patience. Please have patience with those weeds that still remain in your life now. Both those that you produce with your own sin, but also the sins of others that are against you, that try to destroy your faith and your hope. Because you know what? In an amazing way, the Lord is still using those weeds, those crosses, those sins to call you and to work in you daily repentance and faith. And so, in our frustration, but yet in God's working of mystery and amazingness, He doesn't remove all the weeds from us that harass us and hurt us from this old world of sin and death. No, rather He says, I will strengthen you and I will feed you with my body and my blood. And I want you to remember the water of the grace of your baptism that I shower down upon you, for that is how you grow in the midst of the weeds. For what appears is this overgrown field of all these weeds, of all this suffering and all this sin that is futile and fatal and is just passing away, the Lord has made into a sure and certain hope that what you are has not yet been completely revealed to you, but has been accomplished in the body of Jesus Christ. For what you are has not been made known to you completely. What you see and what you feel in this life, in yourself, is nothing but weeds and no wheat. But you are promised that when the Lord appears to you in all His glory and that final harvest does come, you will see Him as He is and you will be like Him as He is. So in the death and resurrection, at the last day, that final harvest of which Jesus speaks, all the weeds will be removed from you forever. From your body, from your heart, from your mind, from your soul, completely. You will never more be plagued by those weeds, by the threats of the devil and the assaults of the evil one and the fear of death and decay and all of that. No, you shall rather live in a perfect peace, in a joy of the presence of God that is eternal, in the light of His love, and in the warmth of His gracious embrace. God be praised for such good news. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.